Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. The lovely Karen Baum on Berg Vivant. It's about time.
I know, I'm so excited.
I have been waiting for an opportunity to sit down with you and just shoot the breeze. Because it's been a while. We see each other in passing.
We do.
And it's always like, blah, blah, blah,
exactly. You know? Hugs and bye. Hugs
right.
And bye.
Because we do go back a ways.
We do.
You know, people might not know this. We were in conservatory together.
At the conservatory at Point Park.
Now, I won't say who was ahead of who, because I don't want to, you know, give anything away as far as age, but I'll just say we were there at the same time.
We were there at the same time.
Same place and same time. And you were wonderful back then, you know, and it's great to see, you know, some of our classmates, what they've gone on to do. Or in my case, what they haven't done.
Oh, you're doing it.
I ended
you're
up in this ratty old tuxedo.
Oh, ratty old tuxedo. Well, you at least have a tuxedo.
Well, there we go.
There you are.
There we go. So, you know, there's something to be said then of arts education, because, you know, some kids get right out of high school and they'll go to New York or go to L.A.
Yeah.
But do you feel that having gone and gotten a college degree in performance has helped you?
Yes. At least with the people that you meet along the way and them giving their advice from their own personal standpoint. And I think that's one thing about having the conservatory, because a lot of the instructors and professors were working actors, directors, and everything. So they at least can give you, like, hey, you know, do this. You might not want to try to do that. Or if this happens, suck it up and deal. You know? But there's also something really enticing to be said about somebody who's just like, I'm doing it now. Maybe they'll give themselves a deadline, maybe not. And it's just brave, you know?
There's no textbook path to it. And I think that's what a lot of people don't really understand, especially young people that are looking for answers. You know, we're all different. When you are a performer, you know, this is your instrument, and there's no two alike. So there's no two paths that are exactly alike to success.
That's right.
Was that valuable?
I loved it. $20, I'm going to put it in my pocket.
$20.
Oh, I'm gonna put it in my pocket.
Put it on your tab.
That's it. Oh, where's that? I don't I don't know.
They're running it somewhere. but I'm trying to think what, I'm trying to remember a show. Were you in Ring Around the Moon?
I was.
At Point Park? I was on crew for that.
I remember.
Erica Cuenca was in that show. Shirley Tannenbaum directed it.
Tannenbaum directed it. Joel Ripka was in it.
Yeah, yep.
Joel Ripka got a concussion on Friday the 13th.
Yep.
Yeah.
We just talked about that recently.
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
my gosh.
This is fresh in my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
But all those folks are out working now and having a good time.
They are.
So you've been very successful in Pittsburgh. It seems to me that you're working pretty consistently here in this city.
I've gotten lucky.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, it's ebb and tide all the time. And it's one of those things that you can just say and everybody's like, well, yeah, you know, it is ebb and tide. It's either luck, fortune, or whatever, or just drought. And it's why we do this, I don't know. But I tried to explain to my family before, it's you're going on job interviews every waking hour in hopes that maybe you'll get something for like 5 weeks, 6 weeks. But I've been very lucky.
Because we're just picking great plays that have a Karen Baum
role. I'm just very grateful that they're even seeing my face in the door. But no, it's exciting. It's exciting this season, next season. Hopefully will be as well.
And you've worked a lot with PICT Classic Theater.
I have.
PICT, I think, really cultivates sort of a
consistent group of players, a team,
a really nice
of faces
family, a company of people. Yeah, whether they're designers and writers and everything. My gosh, yeah.
And you are getting your time to shine in a one-woman show. Yeah. That is opening with PICT. It's in preview September 1st, opening night September 3rd. Shirley Valentine.
That's right.
And that is you.
Yeah.
You, the whole lot
yeah.
of Shirley.
It's a lot of Shirley.
So who is Shirley Valentine?
Well, Shirley's pretty much Shirley. And she is a middle-aged housewife whose kids have just moved out of the house. And she's a storyteller. You know, a lot of times we just find her either recalling events and attaching to a story, like we do. And through that, she finds out more about herself, her past, the present, and what happens is always the big question. What do I do with this? What is going to happen? Or am I just going to stay with my stories?
Mm.
It's always about discovering and moving forward and if you can, or staying where it's safe.
So, PICT Classic Theater obviously produces the classics. This play, Shirley Valentine by Willie Russell, what, in your opinion, do you feel qualifies Shirley Valentine as classic?
The storyline, it's wild. With Willie Russell, because Marty Giles and I had done Educating Greta last year,
right,
the same
right.
playwright. He has this way of writing plays that I at least, and I'm sure, they are universal topics and standpoints. And like last year with Educating Rita, it was about a woman in her mid-20s, clearly beyond the age of getting a proper college education in, you know, by any standard, going back and just taking classes because she wants more. And he really has this way of writing women who want something more with themselves, maybe whether they feel they're not capable or they could be capable, and it's that struggle of figuring that out. And it's the journey that each character takes that I think somebody can relate to, or a story that people are like, I know that, okay, I know that person. Oh, I've had that feeling. They're saying it mm-hmm. out loud. And it's that kind of universal emotional.
So we'll recognize and relate to a lot of the emotions that we're seeing on stage with Ms. Valentine.
Solamente Shirley. We'll see. There might be multiple times that Shirley will be referenced in different ways. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everybody has a good story, yeah. you know, or about somebody when they're little, or about, you know, an event in their lives. And a lot of them, I found a lot of common ground with them, which I'm like, oh, that, okay. Cool, you know, but somebody will always be like, yeah, I know that person.
Well, in the areas that you do not find common ground with a character that you're playing, I mean, how do you relate? Like, for example, Shirley has been divorced, right, and has had children.
Well, she's married, she has two.
Okay, she is married, okay.
The old woman who lived in a shoe was divorced and had 10 children.
Right, so for life experiences of this character that maybe you haven't had yet,
yeah.
you know, where does an actress, or in you in particular, relate?
Well, that's when you start going to like, okay, what do you think that has to be like or feel like, and because it doesn't matter, like any walks of life, they all feel sadness, they all mm-hmm. feel elation, they all feel something. What can you kind of stretch or imagine that that person in that situation would feel like? I mean, you know, middle-aged, married, kids are gone. It's like, okay, no. But yeah. the stories, that's the thing, they just show all of it, or they, you know, there's things unwritten that you're like, oh, okay, maybe this is how the pattern of speech for this is how she feels about that situation, or the story itself might denote little clues. And it's weird with a one-woman show, because usually you can say, oh, that character said that about her, so maybe somewhere, maybe that's how she is. Yeah, no.
All the clues
there
are
no
kind of
clues.
Internal, you know.
There's no clues. Yeah.
So you look for the human instances
yeah.
that we can relate to. And this is going to be in somewhat of a different setting for PICT.
It is.
At Union Project
yes.
in Highland Park, where the audience is going to be very close to the action.
Close, yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
Well, because I'm excited, but it's weird because we're rehearsing now, so we're not in that space yet. It's going to be a whole different bottle of wax whenever we get there. But I think the challenge is really exciting because it's playing all around all the time, and instead of narrating something or instead of going one-on-one with somebody, the challenge is with this one, it's just, you know, you're telling the stories, bring them in, you know they're there, but I think having them closer will, especially at least for this show, will have them, you know, bounce up.
Intimacy is a word that's coming to mind.
There you are. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you tell I've been saying a lot of words today? I'm like, the
well,
words
right, we're
are
catching
happening.
You right after rehearsal.
Right.
And again,
I'm
in
grateful.
A one-woman show, there are a lot of words coming out of you. Yeah. So technically, how do you approach something like that? I mean, it must be a beast, I mean, to memorize.
Usually people ask that question a lot, you know, how do you learn those lines? And sometimes you're like, well, you just do it.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of words. And I never... Sometimes that's my main answer when people are like, how's it going? I'm like, there are a lot of words. There are a lot of words. And she's from Liverpool. There are a lot of words that a Liverpool resident speaks. And who? But luckily, I mean, thank you, Alan Stanford, can break that down when my brain kind of fizzles. Mm. And I get that deer in headlight look. And he's like, no, this is what is being said. And the repetition of the rehearsal has been helping a whole ton.
Yeah.
And just figuring it out and stretching it out. There are days when we might only get 2 pages in, but those 2 pages make crystal clear sense, which, shoot.
Now, since we are contemporaries, I have to ask you, has it gotten harder with age? Because for me it has. I cannot memorize stuff I used to be able to.
So my theory is that it has nothing to do with age, it's just the accumulation of all the other crap in life that kind of like piles in your brain and there's no room. So either you forget to put shoes on, or you might miss a line for a second. So that's just that. That's my rationale. And then because
that's
it's still, because I can't. I mean, you have all these other responsibilities when you were in school and young and super eager and like we're still super eager, but we're not 18. And so, surprise. And so you're focused in that one situation. You're in a classroom, and this is what you have to do. You're going to school. You might do your work study. Might work a job. Might do another show on the side. But the job and the gig in the work study might have to do with what you're doing, so it's all intensive. You know, you're doing it. Your goal. Now it's like, what's happening? What's going on?
So how do we clean the clutter?
I don't know. Forget shoes. I don't know. Just
allow yourself to forget things.
Thank you, by the way, because today, thank you, Homeville Roads PNC Bank, because you also forget to deal with your ATM card and put it in its proper place.
Yeah.
And some honest citizen, thank you, Wes Mifflin, reported it and called me as I was coming over. I was like, I didn't even know I was missing it. So,
all right,
you forget things.
Along with this, I have to ask you, because I'm just going to assume you've got a couple whoppers of examples. What's the most embarrassing flub that you've ever... had to suffer through on stage?
On stage?
Yeah.
Oh, on stage. There's a... Wow, a lot. The first... Okay. Oh, yeah. So this is probably the starting point of that, oh my gosh. I was doing Othello with Unseen Shakespeare, and it was in the Strip District, and it was such a great time. Like, Doug Mertz was in it, Joshua Reese was in it, and Alyssa Brennan was Amelia. It was Desdemona. Literally, there was one scene. And thank goodness Alyssa Brennan is so on target with so much. I walk on stage, there's a fight. Othello's fighting.
Yeah.
And like this, because that's how Othello fights, you know. But no, he's fighting, and I come on, literally, 3 words. What's the matter? 3 words. I have, it was a film noir, set up.
Oh,
so we're all dressed noir-like, and Lisa comes behind me. I come up, my heel gets stuck in the back of my skirt, and there's the entryway. and I take a header and I bite some stage floor, and I didn't know what else to do. I see little shoulders from the other actors, and Lissa was at least smart enough to stop so she didn't fall too and grab me and pick me up. I'm like, what's the matter? Like, and of course,
which is what everybody else is.
Oh my god! So. And of course, it was the day, you know, that nobody, like, people were reviewing, and we're like, oh, grace under pressure.
Did you have other lines though to redeem yourself?
Later, but that was the only one in that scene, and I was like, oh, okay, that's when you want to start the car.
Yeah, and it's all downhill from there. Folks.
Sometimes, but no, if that's the worst that could happen, okay, you know, because we can laugh about it now, you know,
right.
Otherwise.
Well, I am...
Do you have the stories?
I'm sure... Every day of my life. But I was going to avoid that and turn it back to you. and say that I am really anxious and excited to see you in this show. Because, you know, usually we've seen you play some, you know, quirky characters here and there. But this is you. In the Raw, as Shirley Valentine, we're there watching it, and I think for those who are Karen Baum fans out there, and who isn't really,
this is really a
must. This is going to be a great tour de force, as they say.
Ooh.
That's a little cliche, but I mean, really,
it's,
you're going through all the emotions here.
It's happening. Yeah. I was like, it's happening, and I'd love to see everybody. Yeah. A little reunion and meet some.
Do actors get nervous? Do you?
Are you kidding? I'm nervous now. I'm nervous. I'm happy, but I'm nervous. Oh, yeah. I think I was nervous since I found out this was happening in a good way. But you got to be nervous, because if you're not nervous, it's not right.
Right.
You know, right? I mean,
it's too easy.
Right? Okay. Because if it's not, then, oh, man, I got to reevaluate. But I think it's good to be nervous.
It's good to be nervous. I see T-shirts.
That's it. With like hair falling out. Yeah. And just, it's good to be nervous, right?
Now, one thing I know about you that we haven't talked about is how much you love to bake cookies and edibles and things for people.
It's fun.
That's like your trademark.
Anybody that's been in
a show with you knows that Karen's in her kitchen is going to come in with a cake or goodies or something.
Because that's how you show love. And it's also, weirdly, how I learn lines now.
Really?
It was in college. Marcy Woodruff called me out when I was doing a show with her. And there was one time I didn't know a scene all the way. She's like, did you bake today? And she's a cook as well. And I was like, you know, it's like that moment, like, maybe there is, because your body has something else to do, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm cooking in this one.
That, and having maybe that extra thing to do preoccupies all your preoccupations.
I think so.
And allows you, allows the, the points to sink in.
Yeah.
There's something to that.
You know?
There's so much psychology to acting that I think folks don't appreciate.
Because it's people, and you have to really analyze yourself. And
oh, yeah.
And empathize with other people and try, no matter what the situation is, that, mm-hmm. or the character you're playing, you got to find a way to understand.
I think you've got to really look internally in order to express externally in a lot of ways. You got to understand what's going on here before you even attempt to.
And that's one of the hardest things ever, because sometimes, I don't know, it's not even that we're judging other people, but it's easier to see something and to understand someone, I think, from seeing it from another perspective.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna, pull your brain out and analyze you, it's the hardest thing to do.
I know some of us get into this business because we want to be anybody but ourselves.
Us, exactly. Oh my gosh, any day of the week, it's like, put all this back in the box and go. But
what are you most looking forward to about playing Shirley Valentine?
I know I'm already leaving the day with a lot of reflection on decisions that I've made and like things I've decided to do or not to do, and a way to part and parcel them and say, okay, I can analyze these now because things have happened. And why do you think it happened? Does the summation of all that make me who I am now, or is there something else? And this is a lot of what the play is dealing with. And I never really thought of anything like that when it pertained to me. Mm. You can watch a kid grow up.
Oh, yeah.
And you can say, oh, well, that event or that experience is making who you are. But so that's something, and I can look at other people with that eye that you don't see from, like, birth up, that just people that you see and you're like, oh, okay. And I hope everybody leaves with that excitement of possibilities mm-hmm. within themselves that surely experiences and makes decisions on as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. This certainly, I think, is going to be a role that will live on your resume in big, bold letters for quite some time.
Yeah.
So once you leave this production, do you feel that having gone through this massive undertaking of playing Shirley Valentine in a one-woman show will have changed you as an actress in any way?
I hope so, because, I mean, my God, Yeah, there's always so much room for growth. But that's just learning about everything and something this big, like Mammoth script-wise and everything. But just walking away and saying, okay, you know, and that's another thing. You can just look back and say, this is what I think now I can do. Where was I coming into this? And what does that change mean anything? What mm-hmm. can I do for other people from what I learned? And that's a lot of what we do, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of things that, like, what can we get the audience or the people who want to come understand about themselves or about people in general? You know, that's my little hippy-dippy philosophy. But it is. It's just, you want, it's like, okay, well, maybe because if they're too close to something or if it's with themselves, they don't want to face it. But if they watch somebody actually going through a lot of it, then it might leave them a little more self-aware.
Yeah. Now, since you are so insightful, and also since you do like to bake, if Shirley Valentine, the play and the performance, were the main course, what would be the perfect baked good dessert to pair with it? What would you recommend? What would you make to pair with Shirley Valentine?
Ooh, there's so many. It would be La Bête Noire, the flourless chocolate tourte.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of Merlot in it.
Oh. So am I to assume that Shirley likes to tip one back every now and again?
There's a little ritualisticness happening there, but it's not harmful.
It's medicinal.
It's medicinal.
They say you should have a glass a day.
Exactly.
They say you should have a glass a day. Yeah. And now they're saying that red wine is good for your health, and that dark chocolate is good for you. And so I'm great. That's dinner.
You know, I'm going with that wagon right there. Yes, yes, all the time. That is dinner. There you go.
Right.
Sometimes you can dip one in the other. It's perfect.
Right. So hey, yeah, next time. I got to have you over
okay.
to my place for dinner, and that's what it's going to be. Several different Merlots and several different dark chocolates.
Well, that's it. We can give a review.
Yeah. But
the last one will be the best.
Somehow.
It will be the absolute best thing we've ever put.
Somehow I picture it starting out very sophisticated.
Yes.
It will be nicely dressed, but by the end of it, I see it devolving into like Lucy and Ethel on the
chocolate. Oh, are you kidding? Yes, like, try this one. Which one is it? I don't know, but it's amazing. Yeah. Oh.
We need to do that.
Not that we, that, yeah, we're not saying that.
We should, no, there needs to be a cooking show element to Berg Vivant, and I think you've got to be like Karen's Kitchen. That's going to be a new segment
on
Berg Vivant.
And we'll pair food with booze. What food would go great with this cocktail instead,
Perfect.
The awareness.
Well, we are wishing you all the best with Shirley Valentine, again, opening September 1st. Well, that's in preview. Opening night will be September 3rd through 17th at Union Project, starring you, my dear.
Oh, my gosh.
Break a leg. This is really going to be a performance not to be missed. Oh, you too. Cheers. And all the best.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.